Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2012 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, August the 31st, 2012. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service teaching on graven images. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
What's up here in your thought life comes out of the heart. And so if you're having evil thoughts, okay, God, where'd that come from? Listen to what comes out your mouth. Where'd that come from? And the word joyful means undefiled. And there's the word defilement that Merle taught on defilement. A joyful, undefiled heart. You see, when the heart's defiled, there can be no joy. Makes a cheerful face. But when the heart is sad, and that word in the Hebrew means an idol, a pain, or a wound. And it's from a word meaning to worship or serve an idol, to fabricate, to fashion an image. To pain means hurt, to vex, to wound. It means to worship or serve an idol. But when the spirit is sad, an idol, a pain, a wound, to fabricate. What happens is you get provoked to anger as a child, you receive a lie, and your heart is drawn toward the idol. And you use that idol to protect your heart. Whatever that is, if you don't feel love, you're going to find somebody you think that's going to love you. Can I tell you, you never will find that person? Because God, if you have an idol, He'll never let you have it. Okay, go to Proverbs 17. It makes me really sad because I know people that are going to the doctor for reasons, and I'm not criticizing them, but it grieves me because they could be healed if they went the great physician way. I said this with the ladies. I believe Obamacare is a judgment on the church member who trusted the world for answers instead of the great physician. And that's not to condemn you if you're going to the doctor. Everybody's walking different places. Some of you, you know, Velma has gone and she's gone to the doctor, she's gone to the chemo, but yet she's in the Word and she's trusting the Word to heal her. And she said the other day, I don't try to draw anything out of the doctor. I don't want to hear it, she said. Bless her heart. Lord, we ask you to touch her and heal her in Jesus' name. Thank you that you are healing her. Okay, go to chapter 17, verse 22. Now, we read the word joyful means undefiled, no defilement. A joyful heart, an undefiled heart, is a good medicine. So you could say a defiled heart would make you sick. If joyful heart means an undefiled heart, then you could say a heart that's defiled, however it got defiled, will make you sick. There's the vexation. Remove it from your heart. You know, I don't feel the vexation concerning my eyes, for example. I don't feel pain with my eyes, but can I tell you, having eye problems, that God's going to heal. I want to say that in front of everybody. That God's going to heal has brought pain to my life. It's also God's using it to humble me, to show me I'm not as smart as I thought I was. Hallelujah. I know some of y'all are so happy to hear that. Kyle read a scripture one day in church. He said, Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, because you say you see, you're blind. I went, oh, dear God, busted again. And Lord, we're laughing about this, but I'm serious, Lord. I don't want that in my life. Okay, so a defiled heart will make you sick because a joyful heart is a good medicine. And it means in the Hebrew, gives a happy healing. But a broken spirit, a wounded spirit, dries up the bones. It means to dry, become dry, to put to shame. There's shame, how shame's tied in with defilement. Especially one whose hope has failed, wither. It means to be ashamed, confused, disappointed, to be confounded. You know what? If you're submitted to God as much as you know how, don't be ashamed of your life, because you're right where God wants you. You cannot, when you are on the potter's wheel and God is the potter and you're as yielded as you know how to be, can I tell you, you can't miss Him even if you try? You can't, because He's the potter. He does all the work. He fashions you. He takes the junk out. He molds you, shapes you, adds water to make you pliable. He fires you. He knows what kind of temperature. And all you do is come under the control of the potter. That's your only job. God, I'm a miserable mess, but here I am. But we're trying to fix ourselves, and it don't work. And it's all idolatry. Okay, go to Proverbs 18, verse 14. It says, the spirit of a man can endure his sickness, but a broken spirit can't. Who can bear? And what that means is, if I have a steadfast, rational mind, no anxious thoughts, I can take it, but wherever I have a wounded spirit, just don't touch that area of my life. How many of you know what, say, before you get married, how you're going with somebody and, you know, they don't really push your button, then you get married and they kind of hone in on that one area and all of a sudden they know they better lay off of that area. Am I the only one that's gone through that? That is a wounded spirit. And when these things pop out of your mouth or in your mind or in your thought life, or it's a problem, then God wants to heal that. Hallelujah. And let me tell you something. Christianity is the only religion that redeems lost opportunities. And you cannot miss God when you're yielded to Him. Now, we have these images of what we think, but it's all idolatry. Lord, we ask You to cast all of these imaginations and high and lofty things, that things that exalt itself against the Word of God, the will of God, the plan of God, and the glory of God, we take captive. We tear those things down, and we take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay, Proverbs 25. Somebody read that. I like that in the King James. Proverbs 25:28. Who has that one? Carla, do you have that? Okay. So if I have no control over my spirit, I'm like a city that's broken down with no walls. You take a city, you know, like in the wall of Jerusalem, they had a wall around the city that protected the city. And so if I don't have any control, like that jack-in-the-box spirit that jumped out of me, that told me that, hey, there's something here that I need to deal with. There's a spiritual root to that, and just today the Lord showed me. So whenever something is raining on your parade or fear or whatever, ask for it to come in. Okay? So when I'm provoked to anger, I receive a lie, and my heart goes after an idol if I don't turn to God. Okay, now if you'll do the image. And so what happens is I have this. Can you get the freezer? Okay. You see, I have this perfect image of what I think ought to look like. And I get in the mirror, because I've been watching too much Hollywood. And I look in the mirror and I reject myself because I don't look like what I think ought to look like. And that comes in through parents not affirming me. You see, I had to be petite was my image because my mother called me a big old stand up in the road. What is that, mother? Oh, that's just a term we used to use. I think, yeah, me. And then we've been watching too much of Donna Reed ironing with high heels. And we have this perfect image of what our home ought to be like. Total unreality. And then we have this perfect image of what our mates ought to be like to make us happy. Yeah. Right? I heard somebody say once, God didn't give you a wife or a husband to make you happy. He gave you one to purify you. Wish I'd have known that. I thought it was just him that needed to get purified. I heard Joyce Meyer say one day, she was in her prayer room, and she said, Lord, Dave just did this, and Dave did that, was her husband. Dave did this, and Dave did that, and Dave did this. She said, God said, Joyce, it's not Dave. Well, who is it, God? It's just him and I here. And we have a perfect image of what we think we have to do to be holy, a perfect image of what we think our perfect daughter ought to be like. And it's all idolatry. And those are the things that rain on our parade and push our button. And those are the images that God says we have to put away those pictures. Ask the Holy Spirit to erase those things from our mind. Okay, we're not to make. Go to Exodus verse 20, and we're almost through. I'm going to go through these scriptures here, and then we're going to do deliverance. Exodus 24. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. So, I think that includes idols and dolls and images and even these little angels that you see hanging over everything. We talked about that today, having these things. If I was a Satanist, I would make these little angels and put a curse on them so they could bring, so gullible Christians would buy that kind of stuff. A few years ago, somebody, precious lady, I love her so much, they came to see me and they brought me an angel that must have cost $200 or $300. And I'm saying, God, don't let them come back to my house because they may be looking for that angel. It's gone. I took a hammer to it when they left. And I just love those people. They are the most wonderful, godly people. And remind me not to send this CD to anybody. Don't let me forget, Lord. They get my CDs. Oh, Lord. Please don't let me. Okay, Deuteronomy 4:16 through 18. I mean, you can't lie if they say, what happened to my angel? Yeah, that's a good word. It got broke. That's true. That is a true statement. Would that be deceitfulness?
Yeah.
Okay, Deuteronomy. Okay, go to Deuteronomy 4:16. Lest ye corrupt, Deuteronomy 4:16 says, lest ye corrupt yourself and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. It corrupts us. Verse 25, take heed unto yourself, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. Remain, and I must have left out something because the next word I have is remain long in the land and shall corrupt. Who has Deuteronomy? Read Deuteronomy 4:23, Carla, please. Yeah, my printer must have not picked it up right or something. That's good. Thank you. And you know, this time of year, go in Cracker Barrel if you don't see all the demonic Halloween stuff. It is so oppressive in there. Or walk through Walmart. It's getting ready for Christmas toys. Walk through there, and let me tell you something. Get rid of that stuff out of your house. You know, it's okay to have little trucks and guns and building blocks, but some of that stuff is that they see on TV is made to program little children. And you know what? When the Antichrist takes over, snap your little fingers and the kids are going to walk like zombies to follow because they've been programmed by the TV, by cartoons. Okay, Deuteronomy 5:8, thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Leviticus 26:1. You shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 27:15. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Now go to Isaiah 44:9. And you can read the whole chapter, but I'm just going to start with verse 9. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses. They see not nor know, that they may be ashamed, who have formed a god or a molten and graven image that is profitable for nothing. And then someplace further down, I picked up and said, and the residue thereof he makes a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it and worships it and prays unto it and says, deliver me, for you are my God. You see, I turn to all those things to comfort my heart. And the Holy Spirit is my comforter, not these things. Jeremiah 10:14, every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. It says in Psalms 35, those who make idols become like them. They don't see, they have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. They have mouths, but they don't speak. Angie was talking about a lady. She went into her house, and the lady had a graven image, and Angie was talking to her, and she said, well, I don't bow down to it. But this lady was deaf in one of her ears or both of her ears, and idols don't hear, do they? Carla gave a definition of when Kyle talked about a person that was glazed over. Give the definition. Yes. When you try to share truth with somebody and their face gets glazed over, it's a manifestation of a religious antichrist spirit. Mill used to talk about people you'd share with and they acted like a bird that flown into a plate glass window. I don't get it. Your ministry is to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's where Jesus sent his disciples, and Jesus said he was called to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's those that are going to be saved, and those that are saved in the church. Habakkuk 2:18-19 says, what profit is the idol when its maker has carved it, or an image a teacher of falsehood? For its maker trusts in his own handiwork. When he fashions speechless idols, woe to him who says to a piece of wood, awake, to a mute stone, arise, and that is your teacher. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath in at all beside it. Jeremiah 51:17. Every man is brutish by his knowledge. Every founder is confounded, and it denotes a drying up of green things of destruction. By the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood. So we're destroyed by the graven images of their gods and the graven images of our gods. Turn to Deuteronomy 7:1-26. And there's a lot to read. I'm not going to read all of it. Let me just read out of here because I've got it highlighted. Read all of Deuteronomy 7, but I'm just going to read parts of it. Verse 1. When the Lord your God shall bring you into the land where you're entering to possess it, and shall clear away many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God shall deliver them before you, and you shall defeat them, then you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenants with them and show no favor to them. So when you're praying, I mean, it's a command to drive out these nations. I love the scripture that says, foreigners obey me. The minute they hear my voice, they come trembling out of their fortresses. Praise God. The wicked bow down at the gates of the righteous. The righteous possess the gates of their enemies. So we declare that the gates of the enemy is shut concerning the saints, us and the saints all over this earth. Verse 6, for you're a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, but choose you because you were hot stuff. He didn't choose you because you were more in number. He did not choose you more than you were more than number. Than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all people. And because the Lord loves you and kept his oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he's going to do that for the saints. I don't know how he's going to do it in the days we're living in, but God is still on his throne. And he knows. He laughs because he knows their day's coming. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, with which keeps covenant and his loving kindness to a thousand generations with those who love him and keep his commandments, but repays those who hate him to their faces. In Psalms 81:15 says, those who pretend obedience hate the Lord. Therefore you shall keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I am commanding you today to do them. Then shall come about, because you listen to the judgments of and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you his covenant and his loving kindness which he swore to your forefathers. What a promise. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb, that's your children, and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your new wine, your oil, and the increase of your herd and the young of your flock in the land where he swore to your forefathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall be no male or female barren among you. You know, there's a physical barrenness and there's a spiritual barrenness. If you've had, if you've had your tubes tied or you've had a vasectomy, that can take away your fruitfulness. That can take away. It can cause you to be spiritually barren among you and all your cattle. And the Lord will remove from you all sickness if we keep covenant with him. And he will not put on you any of the harmful diseases of Egypt. That's the world which you have known. But he will lay them on all who hate you. And you shall consume all the peoples whom the Lord your God will deliver to you. Your eyes shall have no pity on them, neither shall you serve their gods, for that would be a snare to you. You see how dangerous it is to compromise? I love what Carla said. God told her to quit being nice to the devil. That's what we do. We're more concerned about hurting someone else's feelings than we are about God's feelings. And so we just pamper people's demons. And God's not pleased with that. And you shall not be afraid of them. Have we been afraid of what's going on in the world? You shall well remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and all Egypt. The great trials which your eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out, so shall the Lord your God do to all these peoples of whom you're afraid. See, that's what's going on. We're afraid of all that's going on that we hear that's going on here in the world. God said, don't be afraid of them. Remember what I did to Pharaoh. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet against them, until those who are left and hide themselves from you perish. The Bible says the enemy will come against you one way and he'll flee seven ways. He will see that you're called by the name of the Lord and he'll be afraid of you. The other day I was reading about Esau. I was reading in Exodus or Numbers, and it was a revelation. The children of Esau were afraid of the children of Israel. Esau represents the church member that's living after the flesh. That's why you're rejected by, if you really love God with your whole heart, that's why you're rejected by the traditional church, is because they're afraid of you. You're not wanting them to be, but they are. God says, I've made your mouth like a sharp sword. I've concealed you. I've covered you with the shadow of my hand, and I have made you like a sharp arrow. And it's not popular. But we're to do it with meekness, and I haven't done it with meekness. And Lord, I want to. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet against them until those who are left and hide themselves from you perish. You shall not dread them, for the Lord your God is in your midst, a great and awesome God. And the Lord your God will clear away these nations before you little by little. In other words, you're going to possess your land little by little. You don't do it overnight. Why don't you just get delivered one time? He says, I'm going to drive the enemy out of your land little by little. You will not be able to put an end to them quickly, lest the wild beasts grow too numerous. It'd be too overwhelming to deal with everything at once. And the promises of God are to the overcomer, and you can't overcome without His grace. But you've got to take all these hidden issues as God brings them up to the cross. But the Lord your God will deliver them before you and will throw them into great confusion until they are destroyed. Now that's your physical enemy. And He will deliver their kings into your hand so that you shall make their name perish from under heaven. No man will be able to stand before you until you have destroyed them. Hallelujah. The graven images of their gods you are to burn with fire. You shall not covet the silver or the gold that's on them, nor take it for yourself, lest you be snared by it. For it is an abomination to the Lord your God, and you shall not bring an abomination into your house, and like it come under the ban or the curse. You shall utterly detest it, and you shall utterly abhor it, for it's something banned. In other words, you're not to allow that kind of stuff in your house. Most of us need to go home and just clean house, get rid of stuff. So we're to destroy the graven images of their gods and our gods. How do you do that? Very gently. Have you ever tried to take somebody's idol away from them? The Bible says it's better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool in his folly. You get pretty mad about it. And how do you do it? You ask God to show you how, because you don't know how. Micah 1:7, and all the graven images thereof shall be beaten to pieces, and all the hires, which means the hire of a prostitute, therefore shall be burned with fire, and all the idols thereof will I lay desolate, for she gathered it in the hire of a harlot, and they shall return to the hire of a harlot. There can be no compromise. 2 Kings 17:11-41-30. That don't fit. Anyway, just put 2 Kings 17. So these nations feared the Lord, and they served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they do to this day. And the men of Babylon made Sukkoth, Benoth, and the men of Cuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath, Ashima. Psalm 78 says that graven images provoke God to anger. 58, for they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. Jeremiah 8:19, behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with their strange vanities? Micah 5:13, America is full of strange vanities. Micah 5:13, thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands. In Acts 19:20, it says that the disciples gathered all their occultic books and all their stuff, and they burned it in fire, and it says the gospel spread. Those things keep your children from growing in the Lord. There's a precious lady that I've been ministering to. Her son got off into the occult. He got some mental problems. He's living with her, and they're living in their household, and his demons are controlling the whole house. And so let's stand up and ask the Lord to show you. You know, the Holy Spirit... Years ago, I was having so many problems when Kyle was growing up. We just decided, when in doubt, throw it out. And so we started throwing things out to bring peace into our home. We didn't want to risk. We were having enough problems without graven images. And I don't have any kind of stuff like that in my house. And the peace of God is in my house. So if you want God's peace in your house, you're going to have to clean your house and change your ways with your children and teach them to be holy and righteous and not to compromise with the world. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to search my heart, test my thoughts. I ask you to show me, Lord, everything that you want me to do. Wherever I have a graven image or an idol, I ask for the truth that sets me free. Wherever I need to get rid of something, if I need to keep it, when I look at it, increase my peace. If I don't need it, I pray that every time I look at that thing, I'll have no peace. Lord, I want my home sanctified. I want my children sanctified. I want to be sanctified. And Lord, I've allowed myself to be corrupted by the world, by movies, internet, TV. That's been a god. I ask you to forgive me, Lord. I ask for the truth that sets me free. And just repent of whatever the Lord shows you and then sit down when you're through. But whatever makes you angry, whatever pushes your button, whatever makes you afraid, whatever you're fearful of, whatever depresses you, whatever discourages you, wherever you have pain, wherever you have any kind of a negative emotion, that's rebellion. And that's those anxious thoughts. I started to share this and I forgot. But the anxious thoughts is just before God says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, drink down, gulp down, and swallow up. So those anxious thoughts, I'm anxious about all of these images in my mind. So Lord, show me what I need to repent of. And then sit down when you're through, and then we'll do deliverance. Lord, I ask you by the power of your Holy Spirit that you'll wipe out my perfect image of what I think I ought to look like, be like, a perfect mate, my perfect children. Wipe out those images of what I think I have to do to be a success in this world. Lord, it's all idolatry. I forgive my parents for training me up in the way I should not go, to be materialistic, to be worldly, to not discipline me, just let me raise myself, not have any standards of holiness or righteousness. I forgive them for provoking me to anger. Lord, I want to get rid of all the pictures and drive the inhabitants out of the land. Forgive me for worshiping at these altars, these images that have defiled me. God, I ask you in Jesus' name to forgive me for not driving out the enemies from my land that would cause it to be a prick in my eyes and a thorn in my side, in the name of Jesus. God, I ask you to forgive me for anger, wrath, control, fear, anger, depression, discouragement, insecurity, not taking the authority that you've given me. Forgive me for shame. Idols bring shame. Forgive me for being hurt, vexed, sad, provoked, grieved, sorrow in my heart. I take all of my grief to you, Lord. Thank you that you said that you will heal my grief. God, I forgive my mother and father for provoking me to anger. And Lord, I didn't know I could go to you. I turned to false gods, made inner vows, made verbal vows. God, I've been discouraged. My spirit's been broken. Lord, would you please heal their broken spirit? I press them out, I bandage them, I soften them with oil in the name of Jesus. The scripture says, where can you continue in your rebellion? Your whole head is sick from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. Lord, I've been sick with all kinds of mental things, depression. God, I ask you to forgive me. for not overcoming, not driving these things out of my land. Forgive me for thinking I have to keep them. That's just the way life goes. That's a lie. You want me to overcome. I forgive my parents for angering me, enraging me, exasperating me, vexing me, stirring me up, arousing me, arousing feelings and desires and activity. And God, I'd handled it wrong. I forgive them for inciting me and stimulating me. God, I forgive them for causing me to be morose and discouraged and sullen and depressed and negative and hurt, bitter, moody, sulky, surly, grim. God, I want your joy. Will you cleanse my... Lord, cleanse me from the defilement that has taken away my joy. Lord, you said when you create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit, then restore to me the joy of my salvation, and then I'll teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted. Forgive me for feeling inferior. God, that's why I have you. If I have you living in me, I'm not inferior. I have the King of Kings in me. Forgive me for being discouraged and frustrating and making graven images. Having a defiled heart that's made me sick. You know, if you've got a physical problem and it says call the elders of the church and let them anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith in the name of Jesus will heal the sick, confess your faults to one another, and you'll be healed. We always leave that off. Confessing your faults to one another, repenting of your sin when you're anointed with oil. If that doesn't heal you, then you need to start looking for the spiritual root to things. And there could be one reason. There has been thousands, I think, of reasons for this. I just saw some more things when I was reading here of, you know, my forefathers didn't know how to deal with their idols, to get rid of the pictures, to get rid of the images, the idols. They didn't know how to do that, and that was pricks in their eyes and thorns in their side. That's a generational curse. Thank God that He's letting us know a little truth. We don't know much, but we know a little, and it's the truth that sets you free. Praise God. Lord, I've been like a city broken down without walls. I've had no control over my spirit. I ask you to heal that wounded spirit. Heal my broken spirit. Forgive me for having an idol. Can I tell you that wherever you have an idol, you'll have a wound? Because if I go to God with my problem, like for example, before I leave here, if Carla makes me mad, she hasn't, and I don't deal with it, and I go out the door and I let the sun go down on my anger, guess what? I've got a wound there. But if I take that, Lord, I forgive Carla, what are you trying to tell me, Lord? And I deal with it, guess what? I'm not hurt. And so you have to deal with those things. When they come up, don't let them pile up. Some of you have let things pile up. But you know what? God's not overwhelmed by your pile. Ask Him what the first... Who said we haven't even done the first thing He told us to do? Yeah. And so He's not going to give you step 20 until you do step 1. Then you do step 2, then step 3, and you start, God will walk you right out of that wilderness. And He'll help you overcome. Forgive me for believing a lie and turning to idols and making graven images. Forgive me for bringing accursed things into my house and breaking covenant with you, Lord. I ask you to forgive me. And Lord, I take accountability for whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers, all the way back to Adam and Eve. Let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the generational iniquities of the forefathers. The Bible says Levi paid tithes when he was in the loins of his father Abraham. If he paid tithes when he wasn't yet born in the loins of Abraham, how much more about the curses that come down the bloodline because of the sins of the fathers? And so, Lord, wash all of the things I've confessed out of my bloodline. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses in the name of Jesus. I forgive my forefathers for not training me up in the way I should go. Forgive me for allowing things with my children that I should never have allowed. Forgive me for compromise in Jesus' name. Forgive me for not standing for righteousness. Forgive me if I've been a Jezebel, and forgive me if I've been an Ahab. And Lord, you said I'll be your spokesman if I separate the holy from the profane. Forgive me for not doing that. Forgive me for living in the profane and putting up with people's demons, and show me how to clean house, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I break soul ties with all of my forefathers. Every bit of junk that got on me through them, I just ask you to send it back. And every Lord, I just call back everything of mine that got on them, in Jesus' name. Now I just command every demon power to go. I command fear, doubt, unbelief, depression, discouragement, shame, defilement, the spirit of joylessness. I command you to go. God, give us a clean heart. Give us a clean heart. Lord, I ask you to give us a spiritual shower. Cleanse us by the blood of Jesus from all defilement of these images. God, these graven images have made us miserable our whole life. I can't tell you, my whole life this demon said fat, 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 my whole life. And it's so nice not to be tormented anymore by that. So I just command all torment to go, all unbelief, all doubt, all worry, anxious thoughts, anxiety, tension, stress, the lie that I'm a failure, the lie that it's for everybody but me, the lie that keeps me from taking dominion, the lie that keeps me from taking authority. I break the power of shame. Lord, I ask you to clothe them with robes of righteousness. Put your hands up and say, Lord, I ask you to clothe me with robes of righteousness, Lord. Drop them down from heaven. Cleanse me by the blood of Jesus. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be washed as white as snow. Praise you, Lord. All defilement has to go. All rebellion has to go. All antichrist has to go. All religious spirits have to go. All lawlessness, rebellion, antichrist, legalism, go in Jesus' name. I break the power of every lie in Jesus' name. Anger, bitterness, resentment, hostility, go in Jesus' name. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. I've got to find someone to love me. Rejection. I break the power of that. And Lord, I thank you that you are the lover of the universe. And I give my life to you fresh and anew in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Hallelujah. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of a lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of a lamb. Praise the Lord. Jesus won the victory at Calvary. There's no excuse you can't possess your land. He's given you all things pertaining to life and godliness. He's already won the victory. He just wants you to take everything to the cross in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask you to let us have sweet sleep. Let us meditate on you in the night watches. Lord, download us while we sleep with messages from heaven and revelation knowledge in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you all.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.